Hello, KFI listeners, and welcome to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The Tenth Voice. I'm Ari Copeland, and I'm here with co-hostess Fiona Nalling and the other co-hostess Una Nalling. And behind the board today is our sound engineer and producer.
Also Una Nalling.
Yeah, also Una Nalling. Sorry. Our sound engineer and producer is also Una Nalling. So we have a full studio today on Trans Talk. We're going to begin by talking to Samantha Ruggles about the Equality Trans Support Group and their creative fundraising efforts at the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Next, we'll talk to Jonathan Pryor, the Assistant Director of the UMKC LGBTQIA Programs and Services Office of Student Involvement, about their services that they provide to the LGBTQIA students and faculty. And then finally, we have John DeRaps and Brandon Wilcox with us, who's going to introduce us to the Kansas City Bear Mafia. Fiona will finish up the show with the community calendar update.
Advocacy, unfortunately, requires money. Our opponents are certainly well-funded, often hiding under tax exemptions to gather enormous war chests to stoke the engines of a media empire, build giant glass buildings, which they keep closed during floods, and run private jets for their elites and fill buses to ship hate around the country like a demonic FedEx. Perhaps they've been taking a page from Satan's book. Transgender advocacy is the David to those Goliaths, and we wanted to highlight some of our favorite Davids on Trans Talk today. We're joined by Samantha Ruggles, and she's representing today the Equal Trans Support Group, and they're here to give us an update on their group and to talk about a creative fundraising effort at the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Samantha, welcome to Trans Talk.
Well, thank you, Fiona. How are you? It's good to see you.
I'm doing much better, thank you.
Well, today, first of all, Happy Bisexuality Day, I believe, so for all of us and everybody in the community, but... Equal Trans Support Group is a group that I've been involved with almost 2 years, and there's several other individuals certainly that are involved, and it's kind of a team effort between me and several others. That today, giving a shout out all the way to Renaissance Festival, is members of the Equal Trans Support Group and volunteers. We are managing the White Stag Restaurant at the Renaissance Festival. We are the greeters as well as the food servers at the only sit-down restaurant at Renaissance Festival. And on a day like today, a little shade, there is electricity, there's ceiling fans, so I hope we have a big crowd today. But unfortunately, because of the big crowd and some volunteer priorities that came up, Joy was not able to make it today, and wanted to give a shout out for having her ask me to be on.
Well, it's great to have you here today, even though Joy couldn't join you. We've always enjoyed having you as a guest on here. So, who started the Equal Trans Support Group, and what are its aims?
You know, I kind of wish Joy was here, because they can speak to the history a lot better than I can. But it started several years ago as a group of individuals that just wanted to, almost from a youth standpoint, there was an equal youth group, and there was a need for a trans segment of a group from that. And it still is very vibrant today. We meet every third Thursday at the Kansas City Center for Inclusion. And we also, from time to time, do allies events in different locations around the city. But primarily, our mission is to just provide a place where, whether you are newly out, coming out, been out, trans men, trans women, gender nonconforming identities, gender non-binary identities, we do get into discussions, but for the most part, we are all-inclusive. Of any identity and any orientation, and we just want to give people a resource to have a place to chill. And, you know, we also, you know, want to do things for, you know, the community. You know, we do potlucks, and, you know, we provide a lot of the food around the holidays, as well as a couple times throughout the year, as well as during our meetings. We provide refreshments and meals, both, you know, vegan as well as gluten-free meals. And that's why we needed to raise some money, and several of us are involved in the Renaissance Festival, and we decided what a fun way to do advocacy work as well as make a little money for the group.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like vegan and gluten-free meals is not exactly cheap, and a lot of people around the holidays like Thanksgiving and so on, if they've been rejected by their families, they'd be alone otherwise. So you definitely need funds for something like that.
Exactly. And it's also a lot of fun. Last year we did a tragedy tale, and that was a lot of work. But we did the work, and we were asked back, and actually on Columbus Day of last year, we worked some of the different food venues, and one of them was the White Stag, that's when they asked us back this year, so shout out to that group as well.
That's really good. And so how many volunteers do you have, and how many does it need to keep that mind?
Well, we need a minimum of one supervisor, which we have that with the administrators, as well as a few others that have stepped up. And then we need a minimum of I believe, 6 to 7, because you always want to plan for that one person that maybe has something come up. We can have as many as 10 plus a supervisor. So it's every weekend through the end of the Renaissance Festival, which I believe is Saturday, October 15th.
It usually ends on the Sunday, but
yes, Sunday. I believe that last weekend, that weekend of the 14th, 15th, I believe. And one other day is the October 9th, which I believe is the Monday event.
Yeah, they are always open on Columbus Day, and I think a lot of the local schools take a day trip to it that day.
So we are seeking additional help. So if you want to learn more about how you can volunteer, and you know, either as a community member or as an ally, check out our Facebook page, which is Friends and Allies of the Equal Trans Support Group.
That's great. Now, so we can get any volunteers the information they need. How long do they have to work? Do they need a costume? Do they have to do a fake bad medieval English accent? Useful stuff like that.
Well, first of all, it is free to enter. You know, we do provide, you know, the entrance. It's best to show up around 9:30. The park does open at 10. The restaurant does open at 11. So we have a little time for setup, a little time for some brief training. And the rush is generally from around 11:30, 12 o'clock to anywhere from 2:30, sometimes 3 o'clock. There is live entertainment that is provided by the festival. We also do provide costumes, so you don't need to worry about you know, anything. You know, on a day like today, you want to be comfortable. You want to be, you know, cool.
Yes.
The only thing you do need to provide is closed-toed shoes.
That would make sense. Yeah, because you don't want to have a one-time volunteer spending a fortune on a costume, so it's great you provide them. And do those volunteers get a short break at all to enjoy the festival?
Yeah, so once the rush is over, you know, we have a dramatic downturn in you know, the lunch rush. So we give people an opportunity to go explore, you know, be gone for a couple hours, you know, an hour and a half or two. Certainly we also provide lunch breaks. There are meal tickets. And depending on how many volunteers we have, then we can rotate. And, you know, so if we have the max of 10, then we can, you know, kind of come and go as we need to and be able to enjoy the festival.
That sounds great.
And we're done it. 4:30, it closes at 5, so we quit serving at 4:30, so that also leaves a couple hours after the White Stag closes to enjoy the festival.
Yeah, because it doesn't close till 7. So, remind everyone again how they can get in touch with you to volunteer or to learn more about the Equal Trans Support Group.
The Equal Trans Support Group is, you know, certainly reach me at the Kansas City Center for Inclusion, which is 816-753-7770. We have a Facebook page for information about volunteering, Friends and Allies of the Equal Trans Support Group, and that's about it.
That's great. I think we have a station break now coming up, don't we, Una?
Yes, we're going to take a brief break here and then come back to talk to more of our guests here at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio.
Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha. I didn't get a chance to say anything about the workshop that I'm getting ready to run out to.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if I could just have a quick goodbye and say...
Certainly.
Very quick.
And then do a cut over.
Go for it.
Very quick.
Speak.
Oh, now?
Yes.
Oh. Well, thank you for having me, and I just want to say I'm getting ready to go down to the Kansas City Center for Inclusion. We're having a transgender awareness workshop on what it's like to be transgender in the Kansas City community. Thank you.
Well, good luck with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for KKFI is provided by the Charlotte Street Foundation, celebrating its 20th anniversary with a one-night-only live music performance, Time's Not Listening, at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, September 30th at the Folly Theater. Five player composers will provide a variety of musical experiences from Andean to trance. Support for the project, part of the Every Street is Charlotte Street series, is provided by the Metzler Copaykin Initiative at the Folly Theater. More information and tickets are available at charlottestreet.org.
Award-winning journalist, author, and Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez is coming to KC for a KKFI benefit on Friday, September 29th at All Souls Unitarian Church, 4501 Walnut, Kansas City, Missouri. Meet and greet VIP dinner at 6 p.m. with talk from Sanctuary Cities to Climate Change at 7:30. $75 meet and greet VIP dinner tickets include an autographed copy of his new book, Reclaiming Gotham. Tickets for the talk only are $20 at $10 for students and unemployed. Tickets available at kkfi.org.
Welcome back to Trans Talk, and with us now is Jonathan Pryor, who's the Assistant Director, LGBTQIA Programs and Services, Office of Student Involvement. And he has been on 10th Voice before, but we've never had him on Trans Talk with us. And so welcome for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here and have my first appearance on Trans Talk.
Well, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you came to be involved in the UMKC LGBTQIA program?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have managed our LGBTQIA programs and services for 5 years now. So I've been a staff member at UMKC since September of 2012. This work that I do here aligns a lot with my education and background in higher education student affairs. And so prior to coming to Kansas City, I completed my master's degree and eventually completed my PhD from the University of Missouri in Columbia, where a lot of my work focused on LGBT student experiences and campus programming and events. And yeah, so it kind of turned into somewhat of a career so far, 5 years and running.
Yeah. And I know I've been to several things that you've organized there, so the running is going well.
Well, thank you. And we try to keep a steady flow of events and programs throughout the year. And for me, like, what's important for me in my work and role on campus is doing what we can to make campus a welcoming place for our LGBTQI community. And so some of that comes to hosting events that represent the diverse student body that we have, to making sure our policies and practices are affirming and supportive of our queer and trans students. So
speaking of policies, does the university have a non-discrimination policy that protects people based on sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression?
Yes. So in 2003, the University of Missouri system passed sexual orientation within that non-discrimination policy. So they were, I don't know if I would say that they were necessarily forward-thinking at the time, but it did take us until 2014 to have gender identity and expression included. And so that is certainly part of our practice. And we also, some of the ways that it's reflected is also in the benefits that are provided. So health insurance benefits for employees are trans inclusive. And then also, of course, with marriage equality, I think that had an impact. But before these things passed with marriage equality, we were able to finally achieve partner benefits as well for same gender couples. So policies in that regard have been really affirming. And we also have some policies in place from a student affairs perspective that are supportive of our trans students.
Well, I know that you have a whole section over in the student union, rooms 320 and 325?
325, right? Yeah, that's our Rainbow Lounge. And so that's our designated campus LGBTQIA resource space on campus. So I've been in my role for 5 years. UMKC has had a dedicated person in this position since 2003. So I'm the sixth person to occupy that role. I may have the longest tenure, though, so they haven't gotten rid of me yet. So the Rainbow Lounge is one of the spaces that we oversee. And that is a resource space, a study space, a hangout space for students, but we also have some small group meetings. So our weekly Trans Plus social group meets there every Monday at 5 p.m., and that's open to anyone who identifies as trans, non-binary, within kind of the umbrella community. They can come join a community there. And they've been great about having that group be open to non-campus folks, but we also get that there's kind of a limitation because sometimes navigating UMKC's campus can be a struggle for people who aren't students.
Especially parking.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, the one place in Kansas City where parking is not free is at UMKC. I wish I could change that, but I don't have that power.
So tell us about what other programs and services UMKC has for Trans Plus students.
So one of the other things, kind of as an extension of the Trans Plus Social Group, is that organization, it's a recognized student organization on campus, and one of the things when it started about 3 years ago, they wanted to have this element of education and outreach, and that's where Trans Plus Allies started. And so the first Monday of each month, at least it is this semester, it may change depending on the each semester, but the first Monday of each month, our students organize and host what's called Trans Plus Allies. And the purpose of that is really to create a space where folks can continue their education and awareness of how to be supportive of our trans community, and opening that up to folks in the Kansas City community as well. And so I've always been appreciative of the support you all have provided for the programs that they host. And I think one of the things I really love about that, it is really student-organized and student-centered, so they decide what the topics are going to be. They organize the sessions and to all the details. I just get to help, you know, promote it and provide support as they need. So,
such as pizza.
Such as pizza. Actually, the students get their funding for it. I know it's not the most glamorous, but we'll feed you when you come. So the next one will be Monday, October 2nd at 6 p.m., and it'll be back in the usual location of our UMKC Student Union Room 402. And this month, they'll be talking about media representation of trans individuals. So I think it'll probably spur some good conversations about sometimes the good and sometimes, oftentimes, the bad representation that the trans community experiences within media. One of the other things that, in terms of our policies that I'm proud of that we've been able to promote this year, is we recently established gender-inclusive housing on campus.
That's excellent. I was going to ask that as a question.
So. Yeah, so that is one of our, you know, something that we've been listening from students for a while and trying to accomplish is to create a system that is really inclusive and provides multiple options to our students. And so one thing that excites me about this, and not always to compare to peers, but sometimes it feels good to be doing better than our peers, is that we have gender-inclusive options within all of our campus housing spaces. So a lot of times colleges and universities will say, well, we'll let you have an apartment with a single room and a bathroom, and you know, that'll be our accommodation. And unfortunately, those are often the most expensive and the most alienating of options that we can provide our students. And so now our students are able to identify spaces within all residence hall types and participate in gender-inclusive process for housing assignments. So.
That's really wonderful, and that's way ahead of the other local universities, as far as I'm aware. If you're from K-State or KU and I've just landed you or anything, let me know. We'll be happy to have you on here and write the record.
Well, and I love our friends from KU and K-State. You know, like, my role isn't unique to college campuses. There's about 250 colleges and universities that have some kind of person in my role, and so I know KU and K-State are doing great things. I'm an alum of KU, I know that they've improved their programs in just the last few years. And so, you know, earlier we were talking about the Campus Pride Index, and that's kind of a tool that a lot of campuses will use to assess how they're doing. And if you go search on the Campus Pride Index for UMKC, you won't see us because we're under review right now, because I just resubmitted some upgrades that we have. But I know that K-State has received some great recognition for the work that they're doing, and we're continuing to use that as a gauge for how we can improve and how we're doing as well.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful resource. I run a support group for family and friends of trans people, and I frequently recommend to the parents that when their kids are coming up on college age, look at the College Equality Index and other resources out there, to help them when they're trying to choose a university and make sure that their kids are treated right there.
And that's one of the things that I study in higher education is how are colleges and universities welcoming and accepting of our LGBTQI students, and that has a great impact on their ability, one, to find community and to have a sense of belonging while they're on campus, but also then ultimately to persist, because our goal for students is to go graduate, right, or find what's next for them in their careers, and so we want to make sure that they feel supported from the time that they walk onto campus to the time that they're hopefully, you know, moving across that stage and receiving their diploma. And one of the other things that we provide our LGBTQI students are a number of scholarship opportunities. And so that's really important for us to support students while they're on campus. One of the scholarship opportunities is for students who lose financial support from family after coming out. So it's not always in the best circumstances of which we're working with students, but we want to make sure that students don't if they don't have that support, that they can find that support from us on campus. And a lot of that, those scholarship funds come from the generosity of our Kansas City and local community who help us raise funds for our LGBTQI students. And so when I'm talking to students about looking at colleges and universities, you know, I encourage them to think about, you know, what are the policies that are in place that are supporting you? What are the opportunities for engagement and getting connected with other students? And then what do those additional support systems look like? Are there scholarships available? Does the student organizations kind of do other things that give back to the community? And so I would certainly encourage students to kind of look at those indexes to kind of get a sense of, is this a place that would be a good fit for me?
And if anyone's already a student at UMKC, how would they get in touch with you to volunteer or find out about those scholarships?
So a couple of things that I would recommend. One, stop by the Rainbow Lounge, room 325 of the Student Union. It's a great place to just connect with other students and to get a sense of what's going on. We do try to stay pretty active on our social media, so finding us on Facebook, that'll let you know what events and programs will be coming up through the year. And then I always encourage, come stop by my office. I'm in the Student Union. I'm happy to meet with students and just talk about what interests are and how they want to become connected with campus, because involvement looks different for everybody. So it's not always being the leader of the Trans Plus student organization. It could be thinking about how do you incorporate LGBT, queer, and trans topics into your schoolwork, and how do you give back to the community in other ways. So Facebook, and then you can always check out our website, umkc.edu/LGBT.
Now, I had a question that's not directly relating to students, but relating to the faculty and staff at UMKC. There are quite a number of resources as well for LGBTQIA faculty and staff. Is that correct?
Some. And especially when we're talking about the policies earlier, we've seen some, I've been happy to see the growth around the HR benefits and the expansion of the non-discrimination statement to include our gender expression and gender identity. You know, that's a question that I often get a lot is, oh, well, you focus on students, who provides that support to faculty and staff? And we've got great partners on campus through our Division of Diversity and Inclusion who do a lot of programming and training support for faculty and staff as well. And so I would like to think it's a pretty good place because I feel supported, but I also get that not everyone may feel comfortable being out in their workplace. Like, I'm kind of paid to be out. I'm in a different role than some other folks. But one thing that we just had come out was our campus climate survey, and that surveyed satisfaction from faculty, staff, and students. And I was honestly, my paying attention to it is mostly focusing on the student portion because I want to know how we can improve climate for students. But that faculty and staff piece is going to be important for us as we continue to think about how we provide support to them. And we did just have a faculty staff LGBTQI affinity group start that we hadn't had before. And so actually that's one of the things that we updated on the Campus Pride Index because we're wanting to make sure faculty and staff know that there are options for them to identify community and get involved with campus from that perspective.
I know that one thing that's really stood out about UMKC is, I know it's just sort of very topical here, there's a large number of transgender or gender nonconforming professors there. I'm an adjunct professor in the School of Civil and Mechanical Engineering. Of course, I couldn't be more out unless I got face tattoos, and even then I don't know. A good friend of mine is a transgender woman working in the science area there. I don't know if she's completely out or not, but I also know of at least two other full professors and two other adjunct professors who are also transgender, and all have been working there for many years and really experienced nothing but success on campus.
I've always been surprised, not always, I mean, I'm proud, I guess I should say, more than surprised, that the number of folks I know who are out on campus. I truly mean it when I don't think I would probably find the support from our programs here that I would find at other campuses. So I don't know what it is about UMKC. We've got an interesting history where inclusion hasn't always been practiced, like in the 70s, which wouldn't be surprised to anybody. But I feel like that it is a pretty good place to be for folks who are LGBTQIA. And if there are things that we need to work on, those are things that we should talk about and make sure that we continue to fix. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, it's been really... I've always felt safe on campus. I've always felt safe being there. When I came out in my department there, I was very strongly welcomed, very positively welcomed. The department chairman said, "Oh, great, just think of what this does to our diversity quotient. This is fantastic." Like, do you have any other transgender friends that want to join the department?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're going to be working on, or I hope to be working on soon, is to establish a list of folks who feel comfortable being out, because I think that there is some power in that visibility. And if we could have other faculty and staff do that, then students can see, oh, I've got this professor who is who shared this aspect of themselves. And so we'd only want people to do that who would want to volunteer, because I get that not everyone feels safe and comfortable to do that. But it's a practice other campuses have adopted, and I think there could be a lot of power if we could see that. From upper administration down to, you know, other staff, that people feel comfortable sharing that aspects of themselves.
That could be very cool for Trans Day of Visibility next April.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe that should be our goal, so we can shoot to have that done by then.
Yeah, and have an event.
Yeah. So.
Thinking of being out, is there a procedure for students who haven't yet changed their legal names and gender markers to make sure that their professors and all of their faculty staff that they deal with get to call them by the correct name and pronouns?
Thank you for asking. So one of the things that I've worked on when I first started was working with our campus folks to create what we call our preferred or chosen name policy. And that allows students to go into their student profile and update their name, from their legal name, to a preferred name is how it's listed in the system. And so that impacts their class roster, their emails. They can get a new student ID with that. And so while it isn't a legal name change, like as far as the registrar goes, they would still have to have the legal name on file. This will prevent that experience in the classroom where they may be called the incorrect name. We haven't gotten to pronouns yet. I've been advocating for it and looking into exploring what that can look like, because we know other campuses have done it. But that is something that I've been actively asking and working toward how we can create. But I'm happy that we at least have that chosen name so students don't have to have that conversation if they don't want to, right? Because,
yes.
You know, we don't want to assume that everyone's excited to go tell their professor. But that's just one way that can help kind of mitigate some of those experiences.
That's great news. Thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Loved it.
Thank you. And we're going to be joined next by the Kansas City Bear Mafia. Ori, why don't you tell us a little bit about the guests from the Kansas City Bear Mafia?
We have two guests today. John Rapps, who's actually the marketing and community relations leader for the group, as well as Brandon Wilcox, who's the technology committee leader. And basically, they're here today to talk about their organization and how they actually contribute to the LGBT community here in Kansas City. So welcome, John and Brandon, to KKFI. So I guess I'll just start with, like, a general question, just in case everyone doesn't know what a bear is. Can you explain to our listeners what a bear is?
I love this question. it always leads to a fun little explanation that I always use. I always describe the bears, or the group of bears as being just kind of a friendly, easy-going group of guys. Generally very inclusive of everybody, very welcoming, kind of something that drew me or attracted me to the group. And then one of my favorite things about them is that they're super cuddly.
How about you, Brandon? How would you describe a bear?
kind of a tough question sometimes. Oh, no problem. But kind of what Jonathan said, you know, that describes the group a lot, but, you know, the bear can come in many forms, if you will, many shapes and sizes. But generally, a, you know, should I say larger individual? Depends. It's one of those funny things, you know, in the community where there's all those animal names that you come up with. But I like what Jonathan said, really.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm still learning all of the slang in the bear community. I don't know. I used to be a lesbian, and we don't have as many labels. So, right. So I'm still learning what they all are. I've been called a pocket bear, pocket cub, all sorts of descriptors of things. I'm like, I don't understand what that means. So when you use the Urban Dictionary to look things up, I'm like, okay. So can you tell me basically why and how the bear movement was founded within the gay community?
Within the entire community, I don't know, like, the detailed history or too terribly much about how it was founded, but I think it just came as, like, a subset of the gay community, just a kind of like a, I would say, different interests than some of, like, your more athletic or slender. I think a lot of the bears kind of just have similar interests, such as similar activities, different things like that.
Right. So basically, it was basically founded to be more inclusive of people.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a group founded in the sense to include people who maybe didn't go with, like, the mainstream norm or something like that.
Gotcha. Like a stereotype of what we actually attribute to being gay, basically.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. So can you tell me what the KC Bear Mafia is all about? Their purpose? How it was founded? If you want to.
Yeah. The group was originally started in 2009, and it originally started out as a social group. When they first started out, I wasn't here in the area at that time, but from what I've been told and what I understand, it started out as a social group, and it was just a way for guys to come together, do a bunch of activities together. They kind of started out with going to movies, meals together, they'd host potlucks, breakfast, things like that. And then as the group has kind of moved on, we became a nonprofit and got our 501c3, and we've done a lot more with fundraising and helping out the entire community. Ever since we've gotten that, we've hosted different fundraising events and different things like that to benefit some of the local organizations, such as the Inclusion Center, the Mid-America Freedom Band. We've worked with some other ones. I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah, the third one this year is the Kansas City Anti-Violence Project.
That's right. We kind of have two sides to us now. We have the social side for guys to come together, hang out, the bears get together, we do different events, and then we do have kind of like the fundraising, more official side.
So how did you both become involved with the actual mafia?
I moved to Kansas City back in 2013, and I got involved playing volleyball, actually. There's a group that plays volleyball twice a week, and one of my friends who I had met online invited me to come out to that, so that's kind of where I started and got involved, and then I met some additional people who kind of brought me more into, like, the official side of things.
How about you, Brandon?
For me, I through a mutual friend of ours, Tony, he invited me out to a dinner one evening and went out and met a bunch of the guys. That's where I met Jonathan and Travis and some other people. Kind of hit it off, friended a bunch of people on Facebook that night. The social circle grew a little bit. Then kept seeing these posts for volleyball show up and, you know, decided, hey, I'm going to go out there and see what that's all about. You know, timidly showed up with my cooler and walked over to a bunch of the guys. And just from there, fell in love with the group and the guys, and, you know, how accepting everyone was. Everybody felt like family, and, you know, just really enjoyed it.
So is volleyball the gateway drug for the bear market?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it seems like volleyball is the common theme. Everyone gets roped in,
I'd say it's
right?
probably one of the common, one of the big ways to bring people in. I'll think some of the meals we do together, we like going out to eat and hanging out and doing that stuff.
Yeah, that's actually how I actually... That was my first event. I actually went to, like, what is that, the midweek meals? That was the official event name on Wednesdays. So I think it was supposed to be, I can't remember the restaurant, but we ended up at the Ale House in Westport, right?
Yeah.
So that was the first event I ever went to, and I remember, because I was kind of nervous about it. I'm walking in and seeing like a whole group of, it was actually a lot of people, it was like at least 25 people.
Yeah,
it was like
a
long
crowd that
table.
Night.
And I was welcomed and everything. And I had done some of my research and tried to talk to a bunch of the people in the leadership committee to see if they were actually accepting of trans guys and trans people and all of that stuff. And I found that they've been, you know, the bear group's been nothing but welcoming to me since I am a trans guy and a bear, I guess. I think I look like one, right? So
you've got the beard for it.
Yeah, I got the beard. I'm hairy. I'm here. So, but yeah, so they have like a bunch of events. Can you describe some other events that you guys actually put on?
Yeah, so we've got, we do several different official events, and then one of the cool things really about the group is a lot of our events are member driven, so meaning that the members will put these events together, running together. That's how the volleyball got started. That's where the midweek meals came from. There's another little group that'll go out and see movies, and it kind of just depends on what your interest is. You can just hop in on any of those events. And then as the Mafia itself, we run several kind of big events throughout the year. We do a big event in August, our Bear Crossing event. Then we also run a amateur drag show for the Bears. It's called Dragnarok, so that'll be coming up here.
Dragnarok?
Dragnarok, yeah.
That is so cool.
And it's a pretty fun time. It just gives people who've never had a chance to do drag to kind of take a plunge and do it. I participated, I think I performed 3 years ago, and it was a really cool experience because you kind of learn about the drag community. You get a drag mom, and you learn how much like time and work it takes to put on your makeup, practice your number, and all that type of stuff. And then we do little meetings for it and kind of help the guys like get more comfortable and stuff like that with it.
Do you all have to sacrifice your beards for that?
No. It's an optional if you want to take your beard off or not. I got mine, I think mine was painted blue. I think I did like a glittery blue all throughout it. So, and then there's another guy who did like a hot pink beard.
Yeah,
so it was pretty fun.
Did this last year. It was my first time. Never realized how much work really went into it. Never had shopped for a dress or bra before. And, newfound respect there.
I wish I could say that.
But just, you know, it was a really fun experience, and it was a really good fundraiser. I think on that event alone, we raised $4,500 to go to the Casey community.
Great.
So we're going to take a short break for some more announcements and return to talk with the Casey Bear Mafia.
Hi, this is Mark Manning. For local and new releases in a mix of all genres, for interviews with artists, musicians, and writers, for freeform radio that plays with themes, questions, and events, tune in to Wednesday Midday Medley, Wednesdays from 10 to noon, right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
KKFI is sustained by generous listener support. Thank you for 30 years of belief in Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome back. We're here with John and Brandon with the Casey Bear Mafia. And we were just wondering, how did you guys come up with the name of your organization?
You know, I wasn't involved in the name picking of it. It was really the original guys that came up with the name. But I think they just kind of liked the name of it, just because it was kind of like just a little secret underground group of bears that kind of ran around and did their little thing and hung out.
And that's kind of how, you know, from what I heard this week, how some of the bear groups started, is it was that, you know, kind of the underground group, the secret, because, you know, didn't necessarily fit the norm of gay. And even back then, you know, even gay was the taboo thing, if you will. But, you know, Kansas City has the rich mafia history, so kind of a fun play on that, I think.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if it was tied to the actual history of the city, since this is like a mafia city, right?
Yeah, I think it probably had a little bit of inspiration from that.
Okay. At one time, me and Fiona had a group called the Unholy Lesbian Vampire Army of the Night that was a good organizing tool, I guess, you know, sort of self-joking and so forth.
Okay, I guess, organizations do you guys financially support? Do you select different organizations every year, or
So yeah, at the beginning of the actually our fiscal year, I believe we're putting out a call fairly soon for new organizations. We solicit to submit a letter of interest to be one of our partner organizations. We just fulfilled funding for our three for this year, which was the Kansas City Center for Inclusion, the Mid-America Freedom Band, and the Kansas City Anti-Violence Project.
Okay. Do you guys accept donations or sponsorships from businesses?
Yes, we do. So we recently changed over a couple of our committee members. We have Dustin coming on as our new fundraising chairman. And we're going to try to work a little bit more with some businesses in the area, find LGBTQ-friendly businesses to solicit that way. We do a great job with our bingos. We have a Amazon Smile page set up and year-end giving, things like that. But we can only do so much with that, so if we can get some other business partners involved, I think we could do a lot more.
If someone actually wanted to sponsor, how would they be able to get in contact with you? What would be the best mechanism for that?
So the best thing to do would be to check out our website at kcbearmafia.org. We are also on Facebook, the Kansas City Bear Mafia, and from there we will be posting the forms to fill out for sponsorship opportunities. We have the committee's emails up. They can get in touch with us that way.
Okay. I guess for me, how do you actually officially become a member? Are there actual requirements to be a member?
So we don't have any official requirements or any paperwork or dues or anything. I think that's kind of one of the cool things about the group. But really, I mean, the way we classify or qualify somebody as a member, on Facebook, we obviously have just our face front page just talking about the group and kind of like more of the voice of the group. And then we have an actual group that you can kind of just join and learn more about some of the events and different things like that. We really consider anybody who joins the group to be a member. We've kind of been talking and thinking about different ways to make it a little bit more official so we can kind of gauge a better interest of like who the people are that participate in most of the events. So maybe down the road at some point we'll have more of like an official loose membership.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure what member technically was.
Yeah.
I looked on your website and I didn't really find any criteria for it, so I figured I might as well just ask. But I think one of my last major questions is, how do you work with other bear organizations outside the Kansas City area? And if so, what do you guys do?
We do work with other organizations. We do a Meet in the Middle event, which will be coming up in April. And we work with a group called the Ozark Bears down out of kind of like the Springfield and the Ozark area. Then there's a group in St. Louis, the Show Me Bears. And then there's some bears in Columbia. And we'll host an event or put together a little weekend event in Columbia, Missouri. And everybody will just kind of go out there and hang out at the hotel. One of the bars there will usually run like a special for us, kind of like a welcoming. And we'll hang out there for the event. And then we actually just did... We just went up to Des Moines last April. The group up there called the Capital Bears, they invited us up there kind of like as a get-to-know-you type of social thing. So it's exciting to see the different groups work together. And then when you go to these events, you make friends at them. And then you can go to the different bigger bear events that are all around the country and things like that. And you kind of see your friends there and you kind of build friends outside of your area and kind of expand your circle that way.
Wait, when you say meet in the middle, how are you spelling the word meet? Because being a bear group, I immediately for some reason thought of meat and I guess like beefcake or
whatever. I can see some good marketing potential.
I know, I was just gonna say
we just spelled it the regular way, but I think we maybe we'll look into
pardon the pun, but maybe beef up the flyers.
Oh man,
just because it's a real sausage fest. How many more meat related puns can we do?
You have already staked in your claim to the puns.
There you go. I mean, I really enjoyed actually going to Bear Crossing. That's the first time I actually ever went to a bear run. Mm-hmm. So these bear runs, like Jonathan's talking about, they happen all over the country, and I was kind of naive to it until I moved here. But they're varying size events where just bears come from pretty much all over the area, or sometimes even like all over the world. Yeah. Apparently, like I met one guy from New York City, and he came to Kansas City because he's like, "Yeah, I've heard this bear run is really inclusive and friendly, and particularly, and he basically said he's like, not all of the bear runs are completely inclusive. So he's like, he basically told me he's like, well, I felt that the KC Bear Mafia bear run has always been really accepting of everyone, so that's why I came from New York City to actually come to this event. So I thought that was really cool and encouraging for me. So because I always did my research, I like would text people and say, I don't know, I'm a trans guy, is this going to be okay? So I just want to tell everyone that's listening, if you're a trans person or a trans guy or non-binary or whatever, the KC Beer Mafia is definitely open and welcoming. You can come to events anytime. They're cool with it.
Yeah, that's one thing. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I've threatened to come with you a couple of times. But.
And we'd love to have you out to the events. Yeah, that's the one thing about our group is we really don't have, you know, specific type or, you know, gender or anything that, you know, can come to those events. It's open to everybody. Really, anybody can come.
Right. So, but yeah, I was really, honestly, I was very surprised how inclusive it was for me. Because I haven't had that experience, really, in a lot of places. So
I'd like to ask a question here. If you thought ahead to the future for long-term goals for your organization, I mean like 5 or 10 years out, do you have any real master plan or thing that you would like your group to do or grow into?
So it's something that we've kind of been talking about internally with the committee. You know, really looking forward and coming up with, you know, all of us on the board right now obviously can't be there forever. You need to have turnover. You need to have new ideas. So getting relationships with people who would be interested in stepping into those positions is one of the immediate things we want to do. And not necessarily groom somebody for the position, but get them prepared and, you know, really get more people involved in the creating of the events. The member-created events are great. We definitely want to do more for the actual community. We have coming up for the actual members themselves. We have coming up in October.
That'd be a barbecue we're going to do for some of the new members or new people to the area to kind of come out and get to know you.
You could call it a barbecue.
We could, yes. Said that late Bear Day event.
Yeah, but your new picnic.
Yeah, really, really, you know, look, try to set up something that would ensure the group moving forward. And then the second one would be really trying to find some community sponsors, business partners that we could, you know, look to for resources, not only for monetary resources, but, you know, other resources out there, things that we might need to just kind of continue with what we're doing.
When she said about looking to the future, it made me wonder, as a bear ages, do they become a grizzly?
Yeah, grizzly or a silver bear later on. Polar bear, yeah.
Polar bear. I was going to say polar bear.
That's when he moved to Florida, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's actually, I volunteered for Bear Crossing, and I had a great time. I know you do a lot, and you both, obviously, because you're in the leadership, do a lot in terms of volunteering, but there definitely are volunteer opportunities within the organization. And actually, I had a great time at the Bear Run. Since I volunteered for a certain percentage of it, my pass was actually comped to me. So there is an incentive if you want to help out.
Oh, yeah. He had a great time. He was, like, live texting me during it.
Like, I was like, Una, check this out. Yeah, this is awesome.
You should see it. They're invading a Keynesian era.
I was like, you've never seen such a random group of people in one hotel ever, basically. So
coming up at the beginning of the year, we're going to start posting more information about next year's Bear Run and volunteer opportunities for that. But we are, you know, always looking for people that have different skill sets. If you think we can do something, you know, if you think you can help the group, go to the website.
Well, thank you for being on our show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great learning about the Mafia. So, and thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us. And I'd just like to say that we do have a copy of our community calendar out on the 10th Voice Facebook page. That's at www.facebook.com/10thvoice. And the nearest upcoming item from the community calendar would be Monday the 2nd of October from UMKC, their Trans Plus Allies group. And that's at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in room 402 at the Student Union, like Jonathan mentioned earlier. And they also have their annual LGBTQIA Pride and Ally photo on Thursday, October the 5th, 12:45 to 1 p.m., and you meet at the Rainbow Lounge in the Student Union. And that's open to everyone, whether they identify as LGBTQIA or if they're just an ally and want to just show up and show support. And you can find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/UMKCLGBTQIA. And that was it for the community calendar. Apparently not. I have a tiny bit more time. So I will point out that I have a support group on on the first and third Wednesday of the month. And in October, that will mean that our meetings will be on the 1st and the 15th, and they'll meet at the Study Room 116 at Leeward Pioneer Library. That's for significant others, friends, family, and allies of transgender persons. And you can find more information on transacity.org/sofa, and sofa is S-O-F-F-A. No other spellings, or you might end up at a furniture store. And we also have the Transfinity KC chorus. They've returned from the summer break, and they rehearse every Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. All are welcome to join, whether they identify as transgender, gender non-binary, or just as an ally. All rehearsals will be at the Country Club Congregational United Church of Christ at 205 West 65th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And there is an M2F support group at the Kansas City Center for Inclusion on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. That's at 8080 Ward Parkway. Sorry, that's not at 8080. That's the old address. But they've moved to the Kansas City Center for Inclusion, which is just two doors down from our studio at 39th and Main. And this is Fiona Nalling, and that was the community calendar for the upcoming month.
Thank you all for tuning in to Trans Talk, this week's edition of the 10th Voice. We want to extend many thanks to our special guests, Samantha, John, Jonathan, and Brandon, our sound engineer and producer, myself, and our hosts here, Fiona Nowling and Ari Copeland. Remember that you can always send an email with your thoughts and suggestions to the10thvoice@gmail.com. Next up, stay tuned for This Way Out, followed by Wings, and then Every Woman with Sharon Lockhart, Fiona Nowling, and myself again, Una Nowling. And be sure to join the 10th Voice next weekend as well, at Saturday at 1 p.m., for more discussion of LGBT topics and events which shape our lives and our world. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.